right. Thank you, Carmen, very much for that special tonight. Very beautifully done. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24 tonight. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to speak to you tonight about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate the good services we had this morning. Brother Seth preaching on the linen cloths there. And that was really encouraging to me. Just another proof that Jesus rose bodily and nobody stole the body. If they would have stole the body, they'd have taken the grave cloths along with them. And, of course, it would have been impossible for them to have them lying there like they were had they taken a body out of those cloths. There's no way that could have happened. And so the importance of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ says, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Let's turn that around. Praise God, he is raised and we're no longer in our sins. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Paul also says, "Our preaching, if Christ be not raised, is vain." Means it's useless, it's devoid of result. There's no purpose in it. There'd be no purpose for me to, or Pastor Schweitz or Seth to get behind this pulpit, or for anybody for that matter, and preach from the Bible if Christ was not bodily raised from the dead. And we'd just be just a social club. That's all we'd be if it weren't for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful tonight I can preach with purpose. And God can work in hearts and lives tonight because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. And I'm so thankful that my sins are forgiven. Paul also says this in Romans 1:16, a very familiar verse. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the word power there has where we get, and you've probably heard this before, some of you have, some of you may not have, but it's where we get our word dynamite. It's dunamis, power to perform the miraculous. And by the way, there's still today power in the preaching and the presenting of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give people the gospel. Give them the good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." It's according to the Scriptures. He also says this, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It's interesting in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, as they were on the road to Emmaus, some of the men, and it says that he says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." Jesus, says that their eyes were holden, and they didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he joined them up with a walk. And, acted as though he didn't know what was going on. And the men were talking about the things that had happened right after the death, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus shared with them the Scriptures throughout the Old Testament concerning himself. And so I thought that was very interesting. I want to read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, and then we'll pray. And just offer a short prayer here and ask the Lord to bless the message tonight, and then we'll get into the message. And by the way, I'm sorry I got the outline out late tonight. I don't want you to necessarily take the time to go back now and print it out, but you can look at it later if you didn't get that. But I do have an outline that I sent out by email to those of you that I have your email address. So let's read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all those things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I pray, Father, that you would bless it and use it to encourage us, to convict us, comfort us, to challenge us. Father, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, Father, for the things that you accomplished through the preaching of your word this evening. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives, and for the Holy Spirit to guide me as I speak tonight. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to first see the day and the place. The day was the first day of the week. It was very early in the morning, and it was at the sepulchre. John's gospel says it was yet dark. Matthew and Mark mention it was at the Sabbath, as the Sabbath ended. Mark says it was at the rising of the sun, just as the rising of the sun. Luke 23, verses 54 to 56 says that these two ladies followed as Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and saw where they laid the body of Jesus. They took note of that. They went and they watched to see where they would lay the body of the Lord Jesus. And it says they returned to their home and they prepared spices and ointment, and then they rested on the Sabbath day. But as soon as the Sabbath was over, they went to anoint the body. Now, I find that interesting. It was the ladies that went very early in the morning, first thing in the morning, if you will. It was very early in the morning, still dark, just about to the rising of the sun of the day, they came. And what that says to me is this: these ladies loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I think about this, in Mark 12, 30, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I thought about that. You know, I fall short of that. I don't love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. Do you? I wish I did. I pray and I ask the Lord to help me to love him with all of my heart. But it says with all of our heart. That means, listen, what things do you love? I love different things. I have different hobbies I love. And sometimes if I'm not careful, those hobbies can interfere with my service for the Lord. How about it? Have you been there? Jesus said, the first and great commandment is to love him with all of your heart. You know, these ladies were, I believe, even somewhat fearful going to the sepulchre. They were to be guarded. The tomb was to be guarded by guards. And I don't know what they thought they were going to do. In fact, they questioned between themselves, who's going to roll away the stone? And so these ladies, I believe, loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds me And I hope it reminds you tonight, we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love the Lord God with all of our heart. We need to put everything we can into it. Lord, help us to do that. He also goes on to say we're to love him with all of our soul, with all of our mind. By the way, to love him with all of our mind? I try to think of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the day long. I try to be in prayer, in the attitude of prayer, try to quickly go to the Lord in prayer, but I can't say that I love him with all of my mind. And it also says we're to love him with all of our strength. By the way, with all of our strength, I believe then if I were to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to love the Lord God with all of my strength, then I would give all and everything I have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, I want to tell you something. I fall short of that. That convicts me. Convicts me that I ought to love the Lord God with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. Matthew 6:33 says this, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So these ladies' devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ reminds me, as I study this portion of Scripture, that I need to love the Lord. I need to give my all to serve the Lord. I need to do more to serve him. And I need to be in the Word of God more. And I need my mind to just soak up the Word of God so that I can just fill my mind with Scripture and fill my mind with the things of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to do a better job of that. Lord, help us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. The second thing I see here is found in verses 2 through 6, the discovery and the phenomenon. They found the stone rolled away, and they found not the body. They found the stone rolled away, but they didn't find the body there as they expected it, because they had prepared spices to take and anoint the body. It says they were much perplexed. These women didn't know what to think of this. They were perplexed. They were puzzled. I want us to notice two subpoints under this, the discovery and the phenomenon. They found the barrier removed. Mark says they question who will roll away the stone. It also says in Mark, for it was very great. Listen, this stone was very great. It had to be very heavy. And I did a little research on this, and I couldn't find all the answers I wanted, but how big was that stone? Was it round? Was it like a plug? There's different people will tell you it's one thing or another, and so I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. And some would say it's round. It was in a track that, you know, you roll in there, but nevertheless, these ladies were not going to be able to roll away that stone by themselves, I don't think. But they found the stone rolled away. Now, let's not forget something here tonight. The Lord will always be our help. You know, there's some times in our lives where we have a barrier, so to speak. There's been times in my life I've been wondering, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to perform or do what you've asked me to do? And it seems like there's a barrier there, and I just have to, by faith, just go forward and let the Lord do what he said he would do and do what he wants to do through me. And it's the same way with you. Listen, our church is talking about building a peace onto our current building, and it is a big barrier, if you will, to overcome. But if God has told us, and if we believe God has instructed us to build on, then God will remove that barrier for us. And it's that way in any part of our life. We need to pray and just ask the Lord to help us. I have a couple of verses down here underneath that. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength. Boy, I'm glad he's my strength. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, we just need to rejoice in the Lord. He's our strength, and it says a very present help in trouble. Listen, we live in troubling days. We live in a time right now where we have a pandemic of a virus that is sickening a lot of people. But I know this. He goes on to say, thou for will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We don't need to fear. We do not need to fear. God is our Savior. God has given us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our help. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget there's no barrier too hard for God to overcome. There isn't anything too hard for our God to do. And I like this, a very familiar verse. I even thought about leaving it out because it's so familiar. But let's remember this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. How are we to do that? With all of our heart. And lean not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Sometimes we don't know what God's doing, do we? But we need to just trust him. Trust him. Not only do I see the barrier removed here, I see the body removed. It says in verse 5b, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. You know, the point would be better this, not the body removed, but the body raised, amen? The body wasn't removed. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Bodily rose from the dead. The body raised, actually, it was raised, and one day you and I will be raised as well. Praise the Lord for that. Do you believe that? One day we will rise from the dead. Listen to what it says here in John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then another verse here, 1 Corinthians 6, 14, says this, but I would not have you do, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6, 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord, listen to this, and will also raise up us by his own power. Listen, we're going to be raised from the dead one day. In fact, we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, one day we are going to die unless the Lord comes back with the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will rise and we rise with them. But if that doesn't happen before we take our last breath, our body is going to die and it's going to be put in the grave, and instantaneously our spirit is going to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But one day when rapture takes place, the dead in Christ, our bodies will be raised, and praise God, we won't have a body like this, will we? We're not going to have an earthly body, a terrestrial body. We're going to have a celestial body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the discovery and the phenomenon, the barrier was removed, the body was raised. And thirdly, I want us to see the declaration and price. Verse 6. Listen to what he says. Listen to what the angel says. Remember how he spake unto you? You know, that's the announcement that the angel gave. Remember how he spake unto you. Let us remember what he tells us, folks. We need to read, study, meditate, memorize what he said unto us. The Bible is his word. Let us not neglect it. but we need to read it every day for spiritual growth. Listen, you shouldn't just open up your Bible Sunday morning when the church service starts, or Sunday night when there's a church service, or Wednesday night, or whatever, but we ought to be in our Bibles every single day to read it and to meditate upon it, to study it, and to memorize it so that we can remember what he has said to us. Listen, they forgot what he said. May that not be said of us. Let us be in God's word. Let's remember what he tells us. In Hebrews 4:11, it says this, Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example, get this, of unbelief. Unbelief. Listen, I remember reading in the New Testament, there's a verse in there where it says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, I believe it is. I remember one of my fellow brothers in Christ praying that, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know what? We don't always believe everything, do we? And he says, we need to labor, therefore, to enter in his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Where are we going to get faith? Faith is the opposite of unbelief, right? Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to increase our faith, if we want to have more faith, and we want to remember what he said, then we've got to read the word of God. Remember what he tells us. Secondly, under that, let us not forget the price he paid for our salvation. Verse 7 says this, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Listen, let's not forget the price that he paid. Let's not forget the scourging, beaten to within an inch of his life, if you will. If you ever study out what that is like, the cruel mockings, the humiliation of being stripped, reviled by the soldiers and the crowd, the people, the crown of thorns that were pressed down into his skull, his scalp causing blood to run down his face. Let's not forget the price that Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. It reminds me when we have communion and we partake of what we call the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Communion. We do that in remembrance of him, remembering what he did for us. We take a little piece of cracker, matzah, and it represents his broken body. His body was broken, literally shredded for you and for me. And then we take the little cup of grape juice and we drink that, and it's symbolic of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Listen, he was a bloody mess on the cross for you and for me. And Isaiah 52, verse 14 says this, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. Listen, he was beaten and bruised beyond anybody that ever has had something like that happen to him. Let's remember not only what he said to us, but let's remember the price that he paid. Fourthly, the dawning of the promise, verse 8. Verse 8 says this, and they remembered his words. And they remembered his word. After the angel reminded them of his promise, it dawned on them, and they quickly ran to tell the 11. Isn't it great, folks, when somebody reminds us we're anxious, we're worried, we're puzzled about an issue in our lives, and somebody reminds us, maybe a counselor or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or another brother or sister in Christ, they remind us what God has promised us, and it soothes us, it comforts us. Listen, better yet, if we have his word hid in our hearts like we should, the Holy Spirit can remind us because we read it. the Bible, God's holy word. And so we need to be reminded of what he said. The dawning, they remembered his words. He spoke to Jacob. Listen, let's remember, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Listen to what he said to some others, Jacob in Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. How about Joshua? Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Do you think we can accept, we can claim those promises for our life? Listen, Jesus said we're to be content with what we have. And he said we'd be content with this, that the fact that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He's always there to help us. I still remember one day years ago when I was working for a snack food company, and I was driving my truck back on a long country road as in a valley, and it was storming like I've never hardly seen it storm before, and the wind was blowing, and it's hard to keep my truck on the road. And for a moment, I got anxious about the situation. And I prayed, and I remembered what Jesus has said. He's with me at all times. And a peace came over my life. A peace came over my heart instantly as I thought of that. Because I knew God was with me. And whether he takes me then or not, it didn't matter. I knew he was with me, and I knew he would take care of me. Now, I want you to keep your place here. But I want us to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. If you would, and I'm going to try to hurry on. I know we got a little late start tonight, and I thought maybe we would skip the missionary story, but then I thought to myself, well, we're all cooped up at home anyway. Where are we going to go? We might as well sit and listen. And so I hope you don't get tired of me talking. We won't be long, but look at this. The Psalm of David called Rest in the Lord, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a wonderful psalm. We're not going to take time to read it all, but you can read it later. Listen to what it says in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And we could go on. Let's just turn to verse 25 there. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I am old, the psalmist says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a promise that is to you and to me. So, the dawning of the promise. What promises of God could you remember tonight? Do you have any promises there in your memory bank, hidden away in your heart, that you can be reminded of? Listen, he says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? The scriptures might have hope. Listen, here's where we're going to find comfort. In trying times. Here's where we're going to find comfort in difficult days. And by the way, there's going to be lots of difficult days. God never said it would be easy. He just said he would help us. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And then lastly, I want us to see tonight this. The determination and proclamation. We find this in verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. It says, and they returned from the sepulchre and told those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Let us determine to tell others of the Christ and what he did for you and for me. Let us proclaim the gospel. Let us tell others what he promised. Remember this as well as we find here. The results may be the same. Not everybody who we tell them of the promises that God made is going to believe them, are they? Some will and some won't. And listen to what it says here in verse 11. It says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Idle tales. Are you kidding me? You know, that's what people sometimes look at us and say to us when we give them the gospel. Or we tell them about what God's doing. They say, you're just some religious fanatic. I don't believe that stuff. Not everybody's going to believe, but we still need to be faithful in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to still be faithful proclaiming the promises of God. In verse 12, some will believe. I believe then it says, well, not exactly here, I guess I should, but anyway, it says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. Listen, I don't know what Peter believed at that particular point in time, but I think he still had some doubts. And you know what? You and I have doubts sometimes in our lives, but let us believe what God says. Let us proclaim, be determined to proclaim the truth of God. Listen to what it says in John chapter 20 and verse 29, and then I'm done tonight. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Listen, I've never seen the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen my Lord. I've never seen God. In fact, God's invisible. But I believe because I've read the Bible. And because I read the Bible and the Holy Spirit gave me faith to believe the words that are found in the pages of this book. And we need to believe every single word of it. And we need to rest our feet and our lives upon this book. Listen, let's get in the book. Let's remember that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the grave, and he ever liveth for you and for me. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.